This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
If you've been struggling with your weight, Mochi Health is here to help. Mochi Health is a long-term weight loss solution personalized to fit your unique needs and goals. Meet one-on-one with board-certified obesity doctors and registered dietitians who are on a mission to listen. Eligible patients can access custom-formulated GLP-1 medications at an affordable set price and get them delivered to their home each month. Take our free quiz at joinmochi.com and use code AUDIO40 at checkout for $40 off your first month of membership.
Welcome to another edition of Better Living, a show about people or organizations having a big impact here in North Texas. I'm your host, Chris Arnold of 105.3 The Fan, and joining us this morning is the legendary founder and president of the Black Academy of Arts and Letters, Dallas, the great Curtis King. Curtis, how are you doing this morning?
I'm doing absolutely amazingly wonderful. And how are you? Glad to be back on the show again.
Yes. Yeah, it's been a minute. In fact, I think the last time I talked to you on this show was, I think it was the tail end of the pandemic, and you guys had made a heck of a pivot. In other words, it was looking like gloom and doom at first because all the different shows and performances had to be canceled and the ticket sales couldn't go because people couldn't attend. And you made the pivot of live streaming your productions all over the world.
Yeah. And yeah, I remember we did it was a 12-part series called Shelter in Place, a concert series. And what we did is literally pull from our Emmy Award-winning show called Black Music and the Civil Rights Movement concert. And so we, you know, of course, every year that we've done that show, we've always had a big-name artist with the 100-some voice choir. And when we were doing it, people were literally calling us asking, how can y'all be doing a show with all them people, and COVID is happening. That's just dangerous and just insensitive. And we kept telling people, it's not a live show, but what I would do is I would literally do all of the intros and I would do all of the breaks and things like that to make it look like it was a live show. And then the person in Fort Worth that worked with us, he would take the show and edit the show with my intros and my breaks, and he'll do it in with the other show, and we edit the show. That's when I learned a lot about how to edit stuff via Zoom and all that. So we actually ended up raising like $30,000 on that series, and it was a big, huge help. So we're excited about that. You know, when you got a really good archive, you can always go back and pull back and make it fresh.
Exactly. And you got information and not only donations but comments from all over the world, including Australia and Germany and Japan. I mean, that was one heck of a pivot.
Yeah, we got, you know, because we got a contribution from South Africa, and it was 500 something. I remember it was a $500 contribution from Sydney, Australia. You know, I mean, I think that the institution is, of course, I'm gonna say that because I'm the founder of it, but I think it's an amazing institution. I think it's in a great city called the City of Dallas, State of Texas, United States of America, and the world. And I feel it put, I would still put the Black Academy as top tier.
Yes, it is. We're talking to the legendary Curtis King. He is the founder, president, and Emmy Award-winning producer, director of the Black Academy of Arts and Letters in Dallas. And I got some exciting news that I heard about. And let's go ahead and share it with everyone else. They're remodeling the Dallas Convention Center, the K. Bailey Hutchins Convention Center. And this is where for years, at least the last, this century, the 21st century, that's where the Black Academy of Arts and Letters has been located. And I understand that you guys are going to get not only reconfigured and the bells and whistles there, but temporarily you're going to also set up shop in Fair Park down the, from.
Absolutely.
Tell us all about this, because this is exciting news.
Well, let me tell you, this is what I say, people. You know, it's sometimes it seems trite, you know, when people say, just continue to stay in the race, you know, dreams are possible. And I think we say that so much sometimes that it becomes trite and it's like the thing to say. But I will say, I don't know if it's so much a dream, because that really wasn't a dream that I had. My dream was always to be this director and producer. Well, initially started as an actor, but then I kind of moved away from acting when I got in grad school. I went into directing and producing. And so doing it nowhere near my radar. It just wasn't on my radar to do that. And so what I did was I ended up, you know, really inheriting the files, the records, and the minutes from the Black Academy of Arts and Letters from a New York dumpster.
Mm-hmm.
And I talk about that a lot.
Including a letter from Langston Hughes, right?
And I had, out of those boxes in the dump, there was a letter from Langston Hughes, and that letter is in my possession now. And so during saying all that, so I started the project on my dining room table with $250. But it's a project that has its history and its lineage with the American Negro Academy in 1897 and with the Black Academy that was in New York City in 1969. So then we had the Junior Black Academy, which is the third generation of those academies that I started, as I mentioned, on my dining room table with the $250 in 1977. So $250 on my dining room table to be in a venue that we've been in now, downtown Dallas, in the K. Baylor Hutchinson Convention Center, 250,000 square feet, to a $250 million renovation project. And people say, how does that make you feel? I said, it makes me feel really good, but it's something that I personally worked for. It's something that we as an institution that we have worked for. There are a lot of people who have been supporters of the institution. And I said, the living and the deceased. So you have the great, like the Esther Rose, the Ruby Dee, the Arthur Davises, the Sidney Poitier. All these people have been supporters of the institution. I was a kid. I mean, I'm still young, right?
Right. But back in the day,
all those people were a part of this. And they, before they passed away, they had a board meeting. And Dr. C. Eric Lincoln was the founding president of the Black Academy. And they said, since Curtis is already doing with the Junior Black Academy, what the Black Academy has set out to do, why don't we just have a vote and have him to take off Junior from the name and just become the Black Academy? And that's what we did. And so in the 80s, we took Junior off of it and just became the Black Academy of Arts and Letters. And I always think to myself, now that a lot of those people passed away, Margaret Walker was my mentor. She is the inspiration, the reason why I'm doing the Black Academy piece, because I went to this conference in Chicago in 1972 and met all the greats. And I always think sometimes, what would they think now if they were here? And I know they're here in the spirit to see that this institution has done all this work and is doing the work that it, that all of them set out to do. So, you know, when God works, God doesn't have a respect of person of whom God chooses to do the work that we're supposed to do. And that's why I'm incredibly excited to be doing this work, primarily at this point in time, given the situation of the cultural, historical, and the economic climate that we're living here in the United States, and quite frankly, in the whole world. We're dealing with, the evolving peace with trade wars.
Mm-hmm.
We're dealing with other kinds of wars where millions of people, or thousands, or 100,000 people are being killed. And so the preservation of our history and the contribution that we have made as Black people is significantly important. And I think that Dallas leaders those who have passed away, like the Annette Strauss's or the Elsa Faye Higgins, the J.B. Jackson, all those great people who had the vision. Because in Dallas, when I came here, they always said, if it's good for the Black community, it's good for Dallas. If it's good for the Anglo community, it's good for Dallas. If it's good for Latino community, it's good for Dallas. If it's good for the Asian community, it's good for Dallas. So if every community takes care of this community, then I think the city or the country or the world, maybe not the world, but the city and the country would certainly be taken care of. And that's why I think that this work that I'm doing and that we're doing is significantly important because, you know, if people don't understand the history and the lineage of their past, there's no way possible that people are going to be able to pivot and move forward in the present that they're in, to sustain the present, to be able to move forward. And I always say to my mentees, don't look back behind you, reflect back, but stay in the moment that you're in, because people say, I'll do it tomorrow, but there's no such thing as tomorrow because tomorrow never comes. When we get to the thing called tomorrow, we're never in tomorrow. We're always in the present, and the present is called today. And so I'm learning that if I stay in those moments, I'll always be able to move forward with the vision, idea, goals, dreams, objectives that have been passed on to me by the ancestors and by my predecessors. And so I'm really excited about it. And I think, again, you know, with the renovation piece, it's a $250 million renovation.
Amazing.
I think the temporary location to go to Fair Park is a great thing.
Mm-hmm.
I've had a series of meetings. Our board, they've had series of meetings with people in Fair Park. And I think it would be a good relationship because the times are different. We bring, or will be bringing, a great level of exposure, further exposure, in terms of the programming and the consistent programming that we're doing at Fair Park, like the Riverfront Jazz Festival that's coming up Labor Day weekend. So we're doing that in Fair Park. You know, so people got to come to Dallas on Labor Day weekend to the Riverfront Jazz Festival. And that's August 29th, 30th, 31st. I thought I would put that plug in now.
Oh, yeah, for
sure. You know, the tickets not on sale yet because we're still confirming the lineup. But I think it's good. I'm just so excited. I'm excited that the leaders on the council, city manager's office, and leaders in the public and the private sector have been so receptive to understanding that what we do as an institution is important to the cultural life and the pulse beat of the city. And that's what I think I'm most excited about this work.
Oh, yeah, it's absolutely amazing.
It's been a challenge, man. Let me tell you, it's been a challenge. But life is a challenge.
Exactly. It's full of twists and turns. And what do I always say? My favorite quote, one of my favorite quotes is, the journey is the reward. Success is not a destination. It is a journey. And the journey is the reward.
Yeah.
So I feel you. And I'm really excited for you, especially because, like you said, they wanted to make sure that the Black Academy of Arts and Letters Dallas was going to be still located in the $2 billion project of remodeling the Dallas Convention Center. You already are there with two theaters.
Mm-hmm.
You got your headquarters there. Have they talked about yet when the completion date will be and how much more space you're going to have? Or is it about the same? Is it going to be the same area of the Dallas Convention Center? Because I'm so excited about it because they're making the Dallas Convention Center the hub of the world, especially when you know that the Convention Center is going to be the headquarters for the communications centers for all the World Cup when the soccer comes to town.
Yeah, you know what I think is fascinating? And again, I give this to the visionaries of the people when we came here and I started this project, that visionaries saw something in it. Primarily, I don't mean it as an ego, but because the way I was trained is that I'm a visionary too. And so Dallas was not a place that I had chosen to be, but this is what God sent me. And so since he sent me on this journey and this mission, I think is good. What I love about, we are the only arts organization in a major convention center. We're the only African-American institution that's in a major convention center.
In America.
We're the only arts institution in downtown, in a major downtown metropolitan area in the convention center. and we're excited. What's really interesting, I remember there was a conversation on the council when the former council member, Laurie Palmer, we were talking about the Arts District, and Dallas has an amazing Arts District.
Oh, yeah.
But the conversation was, why don't we talk about putting the Arts District in the Convention Center District? But everybody didn't want to do that. They want to do the Arts District where it is currently located now. So if people come to Dallas, you know, it's in a different location than the Convention Center District, but even though we all still downtown.
Mm-hmm.
So when the Convention Center came up as a home for the Black Academy, I don't think anybody thought that we would still be around and that would have lasted this long, now 48 years later. And so I think the fascinating piece of it is with diversity, you know, and I know mm-hmm. what the current presidential administration, what they talk about with diversity. But personally, what I tell people, I have never, and I'm currently not, seeking approval to be who I am. I am Black. I am male. I live in America. I'm an artist. I'm a director. I'm producing. And so I don't need to have a blessing from another human being or individual to be who I am.
And you are that 365 days out of the year.
365 days a year, seven yep. days a week, 24 hours a day.
Boom.
A day. Mm-hmm. So I'm that. And I don't say that in a braggadocious or an egotistical way. I say it in a human way, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That's who I am. That's who we are. That's what we're trying to do. And so I think when people learn about each other's background and our experiences as a culture, it just makes the world a much richer place because it creates a better sense of humanity and a sense of understanding. And we shouldn't destroy the history, because if we destroy the history, how is it that human beings are going to be able to move forward to study to make the world a better place?
Exactly.
So what I love about being in the convention center is that we are will be neighbors right next door to each other
mm-hmm.
with the WNBA.
Yep.
So the way
Dallas Wings
is going to work. The arena is going to be on one side. So if you come in this big atrium, I'm thinking you go to the right, or depending on where you come in, and you go to WNBA games. If you go to the left, depending on which way you come into the new configuration, you'll be coming to the Black Academy of Arts and Letters. And people are going to see stuff that they have never seen, and they're going to be moved by it. I mean, scenes from great artists.
Right.
You know, like we have now in our gallery, we have a garment that the former Congresswoman Etta Bernice Johnson, who worked in Congress for over 30 years,
mm-hmm.
donated to us. And the garment that we have is the same garment of an image that she took, a photographic image that she took, that's now, I want to say it's on Capitol Hill,
mm-hmm.
you know. So we're excited to have that garment in our gallery. We got a garment from the great Sarah Vaughan that her family donated to us. We got the original hat that Erykah Badu wore in her Grammy award-winning album called Bag Lady.
Mm-hmm.
So those are just some of the small items, but there are so many other artists who have been through the Black Academy of Arts and Letters. They've already agreed to donate a lot of their historical items and things to our institution. And what that's going to do is going to be a big attraction for people who are coming to the convention center from around the world. So they're going to be able to see that this is what this institution is and has
exactly.
done. And I think another good thing about it, Chris, is it says something when people from around the world or the country or the city come downtown, citizens of the city come downtown, they will feel, I believe, very proud to say, wow, this city is a city of vision
mm-hmm.
because they're embracing something that is a part of the life and history and development of a city. And so I think it says a lot about the leaders, the current leaders that we have, the mayor and the council, and previous leaders that we've had, you know, all have been very supportive of our institution and of the arts. So I think that's the thing that makes me feel really good. I can't wait. The idea is that we will be moving out of the venue while the construction renovation is being done, and we'll be gone for about 2.5 to maybe 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
But now we meet a lot of people from around the world, certainly from throughout the city of Dallas and the state of Texas, and the United States of America to continue to support the institution financially, because we're going to lose a lot of money because we won't have the location to do a lot of our original programs that we produce and present in-house. So we're going to need a lot of help and a lot of support. And I don't know where the people are, but I'm saying, like doing interviews with you and other people, that the people out there, and you know, one thing that God does, God doesn't elevate individuals or projects like this unless there's always something in place to make sure that those individuals, those people get what they need in order to continue to do mm-hmm. the work that He's put us here to do. So I think those things are very important to me. I am so excited. I'm excited because I stayed in the race. Now, I'm going to tell you, it's been rough over the years.
I can imagine. But, we're talking about 48 years you've been doing this.
48 years, young. Mm-hmm. And the thing I love about it is because I really enjoy doing it. It was a note from a gentleman that came out in the major paper here, the Dallas Morning News. And I didn't know it. A friend of mine sent it to me and said, "Did you see this?" It was back on the editorial page. It's like Thumbs Up or something like that.
Right.
And the gentleman said, you know, want to thank the Black Academy of Arts and Letters and Curtis King for doing all this work. And the program he's done has been brilliant over the years. I followed his career. I sat there in a moment and tears dropped down my face and said, wow, this is somebody who has been watching me either up close and personal or either from a distance and would take the time to put encouraging words, you know, in black and white that we'll be able to look at mm-hmm. for years to come and become a part of our archive. Those are the kind of things that keeps me going.
Exactly.
The award's always good, mm-hmm. you know, because of the good encouragement, but it's better when people.
That's right. The people.
Human beings say it to
the
you.
The people.
You know, yeah. The work that you're doing is important.
Let me tell you something. With the World Cup coming to North America and the hub of all the communications for the world, you're going to have people mm-hmm. here at the K. Bailey Hutch Convention Center from all over the world, and your presence being around it is going to open up mm-hmm. a lot of people's eyes. And again, you're prepared for the moment because for 48 years, you've been doing exceptional work. And with that being said, I gotta flip it to something that's just blowing my mind. For those who haven't had a chance to even go visit, you can go from your laptop, from your desktop, or from your phone, go to tbaal.org. That's the Black Academy Arts and Letters website. Curtis, that website is amazing. It is exceptional. I think, did you guys put that up like last year? All I got to say is it is mind-blowing. It looks like something that the Academy Awards would put out or the Emmy Awards would put out. It is spectacular. And I'm like, you get it, because nowadays, especially because people do so many things online, that is your business card. And it is exceptional.
Right.
I highly recommend, you should be so proud of that. That should win awards. The website.
Well, let me tell you, there's a gentleman by the name of Tyrone Holmes. He's out of New York,
mm-hmm.
and a friend of mine in Atlanta introduced me to him, and I went back and forth to New York over about 6 month period of time and sat with him in his office, and we went through that website in detail. He's a great website designer.
Mm-hmm.
He's a producer. He's a wonderful music producer and an organist, and so we sat through, and I looked at so many websites from around the world and so throughout the country. And said it needs to be something that's active, it needs to move, it needs to have a history, because I knew we were in the process of getting this big renovation project going.
Mm-hmm. It's got to match. It's got to match.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. And people, when people are even talking to you, the first thing they'll say, what is your website?
Right.
They go right to your website.
Right. You can't have a raggedy website.
It's like a business card.
Yeah.
And so we wanted to, and it's a way we can keep it current. And actually, since I've been talking to the project manager for the Decatur Engineering and the architectural designers and engineers, since I've been talking to them, they told me a couple of days ago that they have gotten a lot of information from the website. And that made me feel good. And I called Tyrone and told him, I said, hey, Ty, people are really talking about that website. And he said, well, I'm glad I'm able to do it, because there's no way that we would have been able to pay this man for the amount of time and the work that he put into that website. He spent a lot.
I can tell. It is exceptional. So it looks like it should be on Netflix. It looks like it should be on Netflix, Hulu, Apple TV. It fits right in. It's like, oh, my goodness. And you want to hit another button and see a documentary. It's like, look at this. It is that impressive. In fact, I'm sure it's going to win some awards just on the presentation alone. And it's so easy to navigate, to find the different pages, to get where you want to go, the mission that the Black Academy of Arts and Letters is all about, the history. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just there. And again, it's like watching a drone go through a building, too. It's like, look at all of this and all the artists who have been performing over all the years and the legends. I mean, it's just exceptional. So props again. I highly recommend anybody listening to this show, while we're speaking, go to tbaal.org. Because it will just blow your mind. And that's the Black Academy of Arts and Letters, and the great legend himself, Curtis King, is sharing some of his life story.
Well, let me say this now. Yeah. When they go to the website, they can go to the membership page, too. Now, you know, we take membership.
Oh, yes.
We take American Express, Visa, MasterCard, and post-dated checks.
Most definitely, because again, in these times, it's every dollar is exceptional. And you know what? It helps because what a lot of people may not know, because they know about the performances, they know that, you know, the history is there, and you started this thing way back when you met Harry Belafonte and Alvin Ailey, and you said, let me take this to Texas since 1977. But what they may or may not know is that you've got a relationship with the Dallas Independent School District, and you guys provide arts and education for the kids in the summer. And that's just one of the programs. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, let me talk about it. I know time is going to be limited, but I do want to say we have a great relationship with the Dallas Independent School District, which is the public school here in Dallas, and we've had a relationship with them for at least 30 years now. Mm-hmm. And we do several programs with them, but two programs that we do where we raise the money and donate the money back to the individual core music school program, that's the Christmas Kwanzaa concert, which is high school concert that we do in December. And then the Budding Rose concert, which is elementary and middle schools, which we always do in the spring, mostly in March or April. And then we do an after-school program, which has just started. It kind of came out of that Black Lives Matter movement we call Performing Arts Matter. And we do seven schools. The district been asked to do like 10 to 12, but we haven't been able to do 10 to 12 because they haven't been able to give the money, the funding for that. But we do seven schools, and out of that program, a lot of kids come to our summer enrichment program, which I think is an amazing program. We have about 400 kids there that are trained by professionals. I direct and write the project and then work directly with those kids. From that program comes what we call the master's program. Now, these are kids who are really interested in furthering their careers in the performing arts specifically. Then from that program, if they want to further their careers even more so, we have a partnership that we do with Broadway Dreams. It's a woman by the name of Annette Tanner. Mm-hmm. It's based out of Atlanta, but they go all over the country and do Broadway Dreams projects. So we sent several of our young performers to New York to do the New York Showcase. Now, let me tell you this.
You better be saying something about Skye Turner. You better say something about her.
Skye Turner was one that was discovered when she was doing If Only You Knew, and was a part of the 80s and 90s musical. She became the young Tina Turner on Broadway and the young Aretha Franklin in Aretha Franklin the movie. But we have Rachel Webb, who is currently the lead in the show, a Broadway show called And Juliet.
Oh, yeah.
And when I saw her on Broadway and on the tour, walk out on that stage, I'm going to get emotional when I talk about it, playing the lead role with this big ensemble cast of this Broadway show, I was moved by that. She's doing it remarkably well. And then you have the young gentleman, his name is Bryce Holmes, who now will be playing the young Michael Jackson in the Broadway touring show MJ the Musical.
Oh, my goodness.
I can go all down the list. Jada Thomas is getting ready to get back in the studio. We had a little issue that happened at the theater with that, but the Black Academy is a safe place to come and enjoy. But I just go down the list, talk about all of them. There's a young woman. Her name is Kay Wood. She is now on American Idol. We're looking at this. It comes off, come on Sunday, and waiting to see if she gets the golden ticket. But she's out of the Black Academy. Harper Jones in New York. Erica. Probably know Erica Badu.
I was about to say, you better not skip over Erica Badu. She's the most prominent name to come out of the program.
Erica Badu, she's the queen.
Yes.
And then there's another young woman called Erica Johnson who's getting ready to start. I mean, she just did a big opening in New York at Carnegie Hall. She's phenomenal opera singer. Woods is traveling all over the world. He's a lead guitarist and a vocalist. I mean, I can go down the list. A young man named Jeff John, his career as a comedian is booming. I mean, I get so excited talking about.
Yeah, the talent is here. The talent is here, and you're playing a role with allowing the talent to develop. And what do you like to say? You like to say this is an opportunity to have the talent learn, try, fail, succeed. I mean, that's where it's like an incubator.
Yeah. I'm just so excited. It's so many of them. But this is the thing I definitely want to say. When we get back in the venue 3 years from when we move out, what I want is everybody that the institution that had anything to do with their careers and the ones I have definitely worked with and trained, I want every one of them to come back.
They got to return.
Even if I could go get them up out of the graveyard, I want them to be at the Black Academy of Arts and Letters for this big, 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 massive gala opening. So we're going to have a celebration. And the celebration is for everybody.
Everybody.
Around the planet. You know, I'm going to talk to Elon Musk and see if we can get somebody to go use one of his rockets. What do you call rocket?
Go
to another planet.
Yeah, SpaceX rockets. Yeah. He'll let you borrow it if you go to Mars with him.
Yeah, I go to Mars. But when I go, I want to be able to get back. I don't want to.
I hear you. Curtis, I'm telling you, this is so impressive. And again, you've been doing this for 48 years. And what's amazing, for those who don't know, let me say this again. The Black Academy of Arts and Letters, TBAAL.org. That's where you find it on the website. And you've got to see this amazing website. It's a multidiscipline art institution with the mission of creating and enhancing awareness and understanding artistic, cultural, and aesthetic differences, utilizing the framework of African-American and Caribbean arts and letters. And like I said, it allows the fine and literary and visual and performing and cinematic arts to thrive in Dallas, Texas. The accolades just go on and on and on and on. But the website is very impressive. It tells the story better than just for. And I also want to give you guys props for staying up with social media and having a presence on social media, because that's where a lot of organizations and some organizations, you know, or traditional, where people walk through, whether it's a museum or whether it's a gallery, they kind of lose sight of, well, you know what? That's where people are. You got to go where the people are, and they're on social media, and you guys are all over social media and all the different platforms. So props for being on top of that as well. In other words, staying with the times. It's almost like saying, you know what? I've got this album I want you to hear. No, you better be able to download it. You know what I'm saying? It's not just albums. You got to have the way people consume their entertainment or their art. You know what I mean? And you're doing a fantastic job.
I know you got to go. But one more thing I want to say.
Sure, go right ahead.
And that is, we have a regular board of directors, but I also put together a millennial board of directors, which is an ex-official member of the board. Mm-hmm. And there are 21 brilliant young minds.
Ah, the millennials, yes. Gen Z.
Of that committee. But you have Sean Reed from The Maverick.
Yes, Sean's
lawyers,
great.
You got doctors on there. You know, all these people on there. But the idea is, once we move back in the venue, those young millennials will move right into becoming a member of the board, because they're bright, they're young, they're articulate, they're smart, they're creative. And they have the heart and the commitment and the soul and the passion of the institution at heart. And so I'm really excited about working with them, as I think they're excited about working with me. I enjoy them. And so they will be somebody that will be, we'll just kind of slide in. And then people ask me, well, Curtis, do you have a succession plan? I said, no, what I'm working on is having succession money. Because if the money is in place to do what we need to do, then if somebody that we're looking for, somebody, which we will be doing, the money will be there to do a national search to always hire somebody to carry on the work, the mission goals, and the objectives of the institution. That's my goal. And we want to have minimum of a $5 million endowment of money raised before we come back into the venue when we leave. Now, that's the long-term goal.
I love it. And again, who says you have to go anywhere? As long as you enjoy what you do, and as long as everybody's enjoying how you do it. And I like the way you're utilizing the youth, you're utilizing Gen Z and the millennials to carry forward some of the ideas that you have and some of the ideas that they may have, and put it on platforms where everybody can enjoy it and appreciate it. But even more so, I was just thinking this on the side note. It's like, nobody ever wonders how long Lorne Michaels is going to stay with Saturday Night Live. He's still there. You know what I mean? And so I can see Dr. Rob, you know, he's just now in his 90s over there at the African American Museum. He was there till in his 90s. You're not even near that. So, again, it's in great hands. The Black Academy of Arts and Letters.
Let me say this. I'm going to always be present, even when I'm not physically there.
I got you.
But
you know they call that. You know they call it, Curtis. They call that emeritus. They call that emeritus.
That's right.
You're there.
Well, I will be there.
You don't have to be there every single day, but you're there.
No. Well, I won't be there. Let me say this. I will not be there every single day because I want to do more directing. I want to take on some of the directing opportunities that have been offered to me, and I don't want to run day-to-day operations. So once we get back, get settled, get everything up and rolling, things like that, I will definitely be there, but someone else will be running the day-to-day operation.
Exactly.
This is where it be. But I want to always be present just to help to raise the money and to make sure that the institution is on solid footing and foundation with the endowment and the money that it needs. When I go to the grave, and I'm going to live past 100, you know that.
That's the plan.
I will go there and be in eternal peace, knowing that I left the work in the hands of another generation of people like it was left to me.
You know, we're saying all these things, and again, it's because you've created something that's just exceptional. I guess one of the best ways to describe the Black Academy of Arts and Letters, and this is on your website, it says, home where the arts and artists thrive and grow. And that's exactly what it is. They thrive and they grow and they carry on and move forward. And with all that being said, all I was thinking about was, it's just an amazing thing when you just reflect a little bit. And I know you haven't really done that very much. You're always looking forward, which is the way a lot of innovators are. They look forward. And again, like you said, you don't get in the history, but you got to know the history so you can do it the right way. So with that being said, is there anything upcoming this summer or in the next couple of months that you want to make sure people can either attend or be aware of over the next couple of months here before you start your new season after the Riverfront Festival?
Well, one thing I want to say is that we have two iconic artists, Melba Moore. Miss Holiday was going to do it, but she unfortunately had an emergency. We have a program we call Coffee, Cocktails, and Conversations. And we always do it with iconic artists. They talk about their careers, their backgrounds, the ups and the downs in their careers. So Melba Moore, who did Pearly, won a Tony Award for that. And then we have Tanya Pickens, who won a Tony Award for Jelly's Last Jam, who's going to be replacing Miss Holiday. So that's on March 29th. And I really want people to come see it.
That
we did get some funding to underwrite 150 tickets for students to come and hear these two iconic artists so that they would be able to attend the summer enrichment program on a scholarship because they would have already attended that particular program. So I want to encourage people to come and see, hear these two iconic artists. And then our summer enrichment program that we have, that's always great. And we want people to stand by because we will, hopefully we'll do it on April the 4th, the Black Music and Civil Rights Movement concert. Normally, in the past, CBS 11 has worked with us. They weren't able to do it because they said that, you know, the money was short and they had funding cuts. Of course, we ended up being cut. But I'm excited because one of the young men who is editing the project, we taped it. We had to find money to get it taped. Beautiful, beautiful piece. And we hope to do a live streaming of that on April the 4th during the day that King was assassinated.
Right.
Or we'll do it on August the 28th, which is the day that the March in Washington happened. Maybe one of those days. We may air it both times. Or we'll air sometime during Black Music Month. But Eric Benet was a guest artist for that.
Mm-hmm.
And this young Thunder Bass singer, Amber Bullock, was a guest. Both of them were guest artists. It's an awesome concert. So when people stand by on that, and like I said, our summer program, we're doing a piece called The Producers, and it's based upon all of the great music that Black artists produce in this country around the world. So we're going to do that as our summer enrichment piece. And of course, people got to be on the lookout for the Riverfront Jazz Festival.
Mm-hmm.
You got to be on the lookout for that. And we're working on the lineup. So we will be announcing the lineup on April the 15th. So people can go to T-Ball's website, which you already mentioned earlier, and you'll see who's on the lineup for that.
That's
so
right.
That's
it's
Labor
right
Day
there.
August 29th, 30th, 31st for the Riverfront Jazz Festival.
And that website, again, is tbaal.org. It's got all the information, all the updates, and it's absolutely beautiful and amazing just to look at all the stuff that you have on there. It's just, it's exceptional, and it moves, and it's just not just blank. I love that website. And again, I bet you're going to win some awards on that as well. He is the founder and president, Emmy award-winning producer, director, Curtis King of the Black Academy of Arts and Letters. Thank you, Curtis, for joining us today.
Thank you so much, and get me back on real soon. I don't be too long.
You know that. Thank you.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment. All so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
Hi, this is Debbie, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help you with everything from selecting the perfect window treatment to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. And I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
Yeah, we can also send you samples, fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, no pressure, no hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Oh, okay, whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and get up to 40% off with minimum purchase. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And joining us now is the Community Engagement and Outreach Manager for the City of Dallas, my old good friend, Robert Munoz. How you doing, Muni?
I'm doing, Chris. It's good to be back with the city.
Yeah, it's good to be back. Have you back with the City of Dallas. You're no longer on the Dallas Police Force officially, but you still work with them in various capacities, right?
I do. I still hold my I'm still a police sergeant as a reserve. So I still hold my rank as a sergeant. And when we just help out when, in terms of engagements, events that come up, and we're out there, just providing those services.
And I like the fact that you are kind of like a go-between. You're like a liaison, because everybody's been knowing you in Dallas I've been knowing you forever. I've worked with you on a whole bunch of projects. How long when you retired, how many years had you put in?
I put just right under 30.
Wow.
But it still carries through as a reserve, because, I'm still doing police work. And then they brought me, remember, I came back as a civilian, as a public safety manager for the Dallas Police Department.
Okay.
I think I never lost, I had a little break here and there, but again, I have a heart for the city.
Well, in a way, your new job, your title, the Community Engagement and Outreach Manager, it kind of shows your work that you've done over the years. It's kind of like a tribute to you in a way, because there's no one more qualified to do this than you. And that's because you were always bringing people together. So salute to you. And we're glad to have you back.
Thank you. And like I said, I still have a heart for the community. It's always been community engagement and outreach is about empowering our community. And I think we're in the right direction.
Okay. So there's this activity that you told me about that's coming up. We're going to talk about a bunch of stuff, because people need to know what's going on and where they could turn for help and how the city is doing their best to try to be as relatable as possible and also do all the little things that people really want done. So I want to start off with what's coming up next week on March 26th. There's a project called Changing the Face of Sports, and that's going to be at City Hall. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, it's the, that's Women's Month, and, I know that Kimberly Tolbert, our city manager, she initiated this initiative, and it's just in bringing different sports, sports figures to come to our house.
Oh yeah.
And discuss, and just empower other women from the city, especially our internal employees, about empowerment and sports. And we're gonna have some big figures coming out to speak and be part of a panel. Yeah, it's just about Women's Empowerment Month. Yeah,
exactly. And again, this is a huge month, International Women's Month, Women's Empowerment Month. All the different organizations are recognizing the huge role that women have played in all facets of history and to this day. It's like just recognizing what they bring to the community. So let's also talk about, since we're talking about the community of Dallas, there is a comprehensive strategy of Dallas 311 CCX. What is that all about? Is that kind of like a 911, but it's 311? Tell us about that project.
So Dallas 311 is part of our City Hall on the Go initiatives. We're out there doing some robust community engagement initiatives out there in the city. We have an amazing team that are already out there, being true ambassadors to the city. They're out there providing resources, education, awareness. And that's what we do. It's about bringing those resources, because a lot of people don't know about our resources. And, they tasked me like, hey, man, we need to really be more robust and be more collectively working with other departments. So we're out there doing some amazing strategy events out there.
So that's basically, you dial 311 and then you can find out all the different things that the city of Dallas can provide for some of our citizens?
Yes, absolutely. You know, I mean, as you know, that we have Dallas 311 is the pipeline to like code enforcement, the Office of Community Care, the senior services. We're talking about equity and inclusion division. Mm-hmm. We're talking about the water department. How do you pay your fines? So we're, like I said, the direct pipeline. We put them in contact with them. We make service requests, whether they can actually put a service request through Dallas 311 if they have any issues in the neighborhood about trash, about litter, about parking violations. And again, we're the direct pipeline and we just put them in the right connection.
That'll work. And I bet it also has some information if there's like traffic situations where, updates on road closures maybe, or even things like that, or things in different people's neighborhoods.
Yes. And that's part of our comms team. Our comms team is part of our communications, right? That's why we call it customer and communications experience. And we have an amazing team, which is part of our comms team that are out there, promoting and advertising and putting on our websites, putting on our social media. And social media is obviously a critical component now because a lot of our followers are following us. Mm-hmm. So we want to be more proactive in terms of that. We want to be proactive in terms of being proactive and responsive.
You know what I also like?
Yeah.
I also like the fact that, City of Dallas is trying to be as transparent as possible. I think people trust you more when you say this is what's going on, or this is what it is, or this is where you can find out more information. I think people love transparency, and I think that's exactly what you guys are aiming to do is let all the citizens know that we're all one big team, and that the citizens can be a part of this as well, and this is how you can be involved.
Absolutely, and you hit it on the spot right there on the ball. Mm-hmm. It's about transparency. It's about having that communication. If we start losing relations with our community, then they're gonna be less receptive to reporting a crime.
Right.
They lose the trust. They lose the confidence in us, and we got to continue building and establishing those strong relations. We don't want to lose those.
Exactly. Because you know what they always say? They say perception becomes reality. If you're not transparent, if you're not around, if you're not engaging, then whatever somebody else says, what everybody's going to believe. They're going to say, oh, they're just like those guys in name a different city. And you're like, no, that's not the way we are. This is Dallas. This is not the way we are. Or we're this way. That's not what I heard. Well, now we're showing you. Oh, I didn't know you guys were cool like that. Wow. Well, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. That's what transparency does for you.
Yeah. So they're taxpayers.
Exactly.
They're taxpayers, and then, like I said, if it wasn't for our taxpayers, we wouldn't be having, our positions that we hold, the resources, and that's what I'm saying. That's about accountability. It's about accountability, and we are being held accountable.
That's right. Sir. Speaking of being held accountable, City Hall on the Go, the resource event. That's something that's going to launch on April the 1st. Tell me a little bit about the City Hall on the Go resource event.
So typically, like I said, going back is like, how do we get those resources, right? So I got with my team and with my leadership, and they said, Munoz, just, run with it. We know your strong community engagement background. It's about having that connection with your community stakeholders, your parks and recreation, your faith-based leaders and all that. So I'm bringing a group of team of city departments to different rec centers.
Okay.
We're going to host many little, we can call it service academies. We're going to have different speakers, and they're going to have a good 5-10 minute window to talk, present their department. Where do we get the resources? How do we apply for resources?
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to be in their backyard. That's what we're doing. We want to go
out
there.
You're bringing it to the people.
Yes, sir.
Instead of having to go to City Hall, you're bringing City Hall to the people.
people get intimidated coming to City Hall because that's how, you know, how big it is.
Yeah, and you and think you got to get all start? Dressed up. And I know what you mean. It's like, oh, I don't know if I can find a suit and tie or a dress. I got to get all dressed up to go to City Hall. And like you said, it could be intimidating. Whereas if City Hall comes to you in your neighborhood, down the street, at the rec center, you might have some more questions and you might be able to get some resources to help you out, right?
That's how we gather our data and our metrics. And, you know, and some of the speakers or some of the events or speakers that we're going to have. Yeah, obviously, it's going to be us, Dallas 311, Code Compliance, our senior services, even Dallas County Health and Human Services. Summer's around the corner, so they're going to be providing those free resources. So, you know, for people that need them assistance with air conditioning. Office of Homeless Solution is still a big problem, so we got to address those issues in their neighborhoods. And obviously, we bring in our community operations team, which is part of Dallas Police Department, Fair Housing, and Sanitation. And those are just some of the departments that we're bringing to the neighborhood.
You said something, and you kind of skipped through it, but I think it just made my eyes get big again. You're talking about the summertime, and everybody who's lived in Texas for years knows we're going to get triple digits. And you said something about the air conditioning, especially for seniors. Talk about that just for a minute, because some people may not be aware that you guys can help out.
When I was working for Dallas, I used to get those calls from our local neighborhood residents, our advocates. Hey, you know what? My air conditioner is going out. I'm a senior citizen that I'm 90 years old, 80 years old. A lot of them had those old school water coolers. My dad still has that water cooler, that water, you know.
I know what you mean.
So, you know, now we're connecting them. We're again, part of, like I said, Dallas County Health and Human Services. So you know what? We do have air conditioners provided to our city, you know, to our community, to our residents. You know, they get a basis on, you know, I guess, you know, whether it be through income, through what's the concern.
But they're available if you apply. All you have to do is apply and find out if you meet the requirement and they're yours. Because, again, I remember the stories that were on the news sometimes where a senior would lose their life because they kept their windows closed and it was 100 degrees. And it's like, oh, no. Or they couldn't get any air conditioning, or they were afraid to have their windows open. And I was like, oh, no. So I'm glad that service is just one of the many services you guys provide.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. I'm glad, and I guarantee you, they're gonna love that because, like I said, we're out there. We're even helping them probably apply for it. You know, we'll get our computers out and help them apply for certain services, and just help them navigate because a lot of our seniors don't know how to navigate a simple phone.
Exactly.
My dad is, yeah.
Oh, you said app. Okay, let's keep it real. There are so many people over the age of 40. Their children are tech support.
That you're talking about my 13-year-old, Chris.
Yep.
Thank you. She's the one helped me navigate.
Exactly. They know it too. They know they are the tech support. They know how to get the apps for us. So they know how, but they also have a thing that they need to make sure they work on. They got to make sure that they learn how to write in cursive, or they won't know what their grades look like. I always get them back. I agree on that.
I'm on complete agreement on that one.
Yep. So we help each other. The Gen Z helps anybody older than that, including the millennials and the Gen X and everybody else. City Hall on the go beginning April the 1st. We'll keep an eye on that. And where can you find out more information? Is there a website? We got some more things we'll get into, but I want to make sure we get the website out real quick.
Please, visit our, you know, we have actually a Facebook too, Dallas.
Oh, good.
Dallas 311. Yeah, so we ask our followers to follow us on Dallas 311. That's where we put a lot of our resource events
for
our events. And we're going to, like I said, we're trying to be more robust in terms of our outreach efforts. So we're going to be putting more social media advertisements, and that's what we do. That we need to be, like
yes.
I said.
You got to be where people are. In other words, you've got to put yourself where they are. And a lot of people are on social media. A lot of people are online. That's where they kind of look up the information. So Dallas 311, that's the strategic location to find all information online about the city of Dallas. Okay, so tell me about the Dallas Police Regional Training Academy, the update on that.
So, obviously our leadership, our council members have already been, you know, I mean, had those conversations, and I think they're in the right direction in terms of what it's going to look like. You know, they had the city council briefing about the Regional Training Academy. Dallas Police Department and the Office of Bond and Construction Management will work with the university, obviously with UNT. That's about modify that plan, bring that regional training academy to, you know, and incorporating basic training classroom components on the UNT Dallas campus. And, you know, the big support that we got from our leaders, our philanthropic stakeholders, we want to propose this because as a rookie back in 1990, we've had that academy when I first started. And that was over 30 something years ago, Chris. So, but now UNT has been very, very supportive and they want to really push out this academy out there in Oak Cliff, South Oak Cliff. And I think it just makes a perfect.
It makes sense. It's easy. It's located great. And the school is awesome right there. That location is unbelievable. And with that being said, you also are trying to make sure that you have a hiring and retention strategy for DPD, because a lot of police officers, they're really, really good. And sometimes you lose them to either different communities or they wind up going out of state. But you want to make sure that you can hire them and keep them, right?
Absolutely. And that's what I think. I think they locked in 300 for this coming year, for the fiscal year. We have over 3,000 officers in the streets. And as me as a former recruiter, I would tell my guys, you know what? Go out there. When you go to a call or you make a connection with a young kid in the streets or at a school, you're a police recruiter. You can be a recruiter as well. You're the one that's promoting the department. So yeah, they're pushing out those initiatives. We're hiring and retention initiative. I'm part of that strategy as well. So we're connecting fire department and the police department. And we want to, and you know, I got the background already. So but we're still pushing it being collaborative with the department. And I think that's important.
Exactly. And I think it's very important, especially when you consider, I always say that the real heroes are the first responders. They're the police officers, the firefighters that show up to help. Everybody in their own neighborhood would like to help their neighborhood be better. And sometimes the easiest thing you can do is train at the academy to be a police officer or a firefighter. And if you really, really love your community and you feel like you can help that way, and again, you're not the kind of person that's afraid of stuff, because not everybody's wired the same way. But if you're the kind of person that, you know, hey, I know I can help and I know I can make a difference, and, you know, I could probably be on the force, or I could be a part of the fire unit.
I agree. And that's what I'm saying. But that's why we like to target our high school kids.
Yes.
You know, we like to target, and we have all these law enforcement programs.
Yeah. You don't want them to be afraid of the law. You want them to be a part of the law enforcement.
Exactly. Yes. Well, I got to give it to Dallas Police Department and the Office of Community Cares. They have the police and law enforcement programs, our police athletic league program. And that's how you plant that seed. You're helping mentor those young kids to stay in the right track in terms of, not committing crime and just to help, have a mentor.
Oh, yeah.
And that's where that's where we get a lot of our kids, because they really appreciate the mentorship and the friendship that they establish.
You mentioned the Police Athletic League. They've done great things for years. Can you talk about a couple of the activities that they do?
One of the major ones is their boxing program. They have an amazing team. The team up there in Near Forest, Elena Delia. They got a boxing gym in Pleasant Grove.
I've been over there.
And I think that speaks volumes of the Dallas Police Department pushing out those initiatives, those resources to the kids.
Exactly.
About having that connection. It's having that positive connection. And that's where we, like I said, a lot of kids can lose trust in our police officer, but that's saying those type of programs really locks in and a good relationship with our community and our kids.
Exactly. And I know there's pickup basketball games from time to time, the Together We Ball, the stuff that you guys do with Project Unity. It's a lot of things where it's about putting a face and a human being inside the uniform. It's like letting people get to know you a little bit, right?
Yeah. And I'm glad you're saying Project Unity. I'm about to, I got in contact with Charlene and Pastor Butler. They know I'm back. So I'm about to go and speak to a lot of high school kids, about, my role from law enforcement to city government. So, hey, you know what? There's opportunities out there. That guy recruited back in 1989 and 90. And I gave I give thanks to the city of Dallas, the Dallas Police Department, for believing in me, helping me grow, and you know, and learn from the from my experience.
Exactly. Yeah. He is Robert Munoz. Mooney, thanks for joining us today. Appreciate you.
All right, Chris. Again, thank you again. We'll stay in touch, all right?
Yes, and thank you all for joining us on Better Living, a show about people or organizations having a big impact in North Texas. I'm Chris Arnold. So long, everybody.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Ugh, your clothes are too tight, yet you can't lose weight, even though you've tried so many diets. The reason you're having trouble losing weight could be a liver clogged with fat, and that is slowing your metabolism. Introducing Omicid, a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism, so it's easier to lose weight, and it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Find out more and see the university studies at omicid.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Nick's Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.